Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Welcome to LA Catholic Morning. Ellen Taylor, Todd Sylvester, Mike and Rip over there.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You may be waking up thinking this is a good day or just don't turn on the news. We are blessed, as other people are going to suffer today with the storm headed their way. So we give thanks to that. And
for the cold front. We give thanks for the cold front.
Yes, yeah. I have a long sleeve shirt on.
That pushed that system down. Sorry, Florida. Sorry. We love you. We're praying for you. Sorry.
International news. It's just a powder keg over there waiting to explode at some point. And if you're thinking, what can I do to help things? I'll just give you a little, just something to think about maybe doing. Coming to Mass of the Archangels tonight.
Oh, nice.
At 6 p.m. In everything good and bad, all glory to God. And so we go and we give him thanks in a beautiful celebration tonight. It's a Mass. There's a light supper afterwards. We'll feed you. We'll say hi. We give thanks for this ministry and that we are able to talk about God and talk about our beautiful Catholic faith and bring you all kinds of perspectives from spiritual to the Mass to a framing the worldview through a Catholic lens and a Christian lens. Those are essential to understand all that's going on in our world. So we invite you.
What time is the Mass start?
6 p.m. Archbishop Brody will be the celebrant and Father Pat Driscoll will be the homilist. So please come out and join us.
Wonderful.
Yes. So with that, we will open this day in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who manifests your almighty power above all by pardoning and showing mercy, bestow, we pray, your grace abundantly upon us and make those hastening to attain your promises heirs to the treasures of heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coastal Segway Adventures. For an adventure, try Coastal Segway Adventures, offering kayak and paddleboard rentals for a fun-filled, hassle-free day on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. That's 251-509-8687. Coastal Segway Adventures, coast to Gulf, coast life.
Headlines for Wednesday, September 28th, the Feast of St. Wenceslaus and St. Lawrence Ruys and Companions. President of the German Bishops' Conference said that the shortest definition of religion is interruption and that some forms of continuity people seek from religion are frankly suspect. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said Tuesday he supports legislation led by Democrats that would make changes to the Electoral Count Act. The act was first passed in 1887, and experts have called for changes to it for some time. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 fell for the sixth straight day yesterday to new bear market lows as Wall Street continued its tumultuous ride amid fears of a recession. Canada said it will move forward to remove COVID-19 entry requirements for travelers coming to the country on Saturday. They will no longer require visitors to show proof of vaccination, take a test before, or follow quarantine rules. The president of Kazakhstan said yesterday that his country will take in Russians fleeing the military draft to serve in the war against Ukraine. U.S. drug maker Biogen will pay $900 million to settle a federal whistleblower lawsuit that alleged the company overbilled the nation's health insurance programs and paid doctors under the table to prescribe its drugs.
I'm shocked.
Several college football games were relocated and or rescheduled, while others remain in limbo due to Hurricane Ian's impact throughout Florida. And officials at a Kansas library received an unusual surprise when a patron returned a VHS tape that had been checked out 19 years
earlier.
Oh,
that's funny. Probably found
what are they
in
gonna
the
do
bottom
with
of
that?
A box.
What are they going to do with that?
Imagine the late fees.
Indeed. Wednesday morning, always look forward to when we speak to Tom Riello from the Capital City. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, everybody. Ellen, Mike, and Todd, before we get into anything, okay, your name came up the other day by Father Connor Plessler, and, you know, one of the most beautiful things was the other day he was sharing, we had a senior retreat, and he said one of the most memorable things he ever heard saying in his life and has stayed with him was, I guess, you taught him when he was at St. Ignatius in the middle school, like in the 7th and 8th grade or whatever.
Correct, yeah.
And you would always intro the day, you'd do like what, you know, Ellen just did now, praying the colic, you would do something like that, and then you would talk about the calendar, and then you would start your lesson. And he said, I could always remember whenever we had an open date on the calendar, he would say something like, all right, this is a great day, this is a great day to become a martyr, it's an open day on the calendar, you know, you'll have your day right there, you know what, and he goes, you know, he goes, I know he was having fun, but he was making a point that I was called to be a saint.
Amen.
And I still remember that. Holy cow, look at that. Back in 2006, and now he's an ordained priest. And so I just thought, I said, I can't wait to share this with Todd.
Oh, that is sweet.
Oh,
yeah, you never know. Never know the seeds you're planting.
Indeed.
Well, exactly. And that's what, you know, and I say all that because in light of the topic we're going to talk about today, brothers and sisters, you can't ever lose hope. You can't ever lose hope. There was nothing magical about what Todd was doing back then, but seeds were being planted in a young Connor Plessler that were percolating, that manifested in 2020 when he said yes to the priesthood and was ordained.
It is a reality that we have to be honest with, though, Tom. When we live out this Christian life, the world does not always support that and accept it, does it, Tom?
Exactly. It does not accept it, and that is a reality that we're seeing more and more in our beloved United States of America over the last few years and ever increasingly over the last few months. What we are referring to is the past Friday of last week, the 23rd, on the Feast of Padre Pio, a father of seven, Mark Houck, Pennsylvania resident, Bucks County, was arrested by estimates of upwards of 20 to 25 armed FBI agents at his door, all for a charge related to pushing a man because this man who was at an abortion clinic was defending the rights of a woman to abort. Mark was out there praying with his 12-year-old son. This man would repeatedly yell obscenities. And apparently video is going to be surfacing of the actual event. The Houck family apparently is trying to unearth this video where he kind of pushed the man's hand away as he was getting close to Mr. Houck. Right? The Philadelphia District Attorney's Office refused to file charges, okay? The civil suit that was filed just this past summer was thrown out of court. And here comes Merrick Garland under the Biden Department of Justice, great Catholic that Joe Biden is. I know he's a wonderful, faithful Catholic. Wow, excellent, excellent. Hope everybody's paying attention. Well, here's the deal. It comes in last past Friday, and they arrest Mr. Houck for violating the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrance Act. Oh, thank you very much. These laws that will protect, this is what I mean about people when we support legislation, be careful because oftentimes that legislation is misapplied. That legislation was particularly involved with stopping access to a woman trying to go into a clinic. Okay, was not ever intended in the event of, you know, oh, no, this doesn't mean that if you're pro-lifer, you lose your rights. No, you still have rights. You just got to stay on the sidewalks or off to the side or something like that. You just can't get up and prevent women from getting an abortion. Nowhere was it ever supposed to. What happens if there's a squabble about anything? And I do think that if a man is yelling obscenities at your 12-year-old son, you do have the right to say, hey, enough's enough. You do have that right. But this is a typical misapplication of laws, these laws all the time, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the weaponization of the Department of Justice, and now this man, 20 to 25 FBI agents. And here's the buried lead, folks. This is what's so pathetic. The FBI wanted to correct the record. A source told mainstream media, Fox News, MSNBC, it wasn't 25 to 30 with guns pointed. It was 15 to 20, and they had their guns down. Oh, thank you very much. You just admitted it. Disgusting. Disgusting. And if you're an FBI agent, I want you to know I love law enforcement. But if you have to wake up every day And you have to pray and ask yourself in the mirror, you know, you will never regret doing what is right. You have to ask yourself, is this a, I sent you all a video, a picture of the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, being arrested. There isn't a single shot of this. Okay? Nothing like this at all. All right? But in this case, you bring 20 to, really, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you really think this man was that kind of a threat? That's a disgrace.
Well,
a disgrace.
No, they don't think he's that kind of a threat. It's a show of power. I mean, they're trying to make a statement.
Yep.
They know he's not
a
threat. The guy doesn't own a gun. I mean, it'd be like coming to my house and getting me. It's like, what are you going to do? Like, hey, you guys want something to eat? I mean, there wouldn't be any resistance at all.
I think also, too, that the gentleman that was pushed had tried to file charges already, and the local police declined and said it's not anything. So the feds then swoop in after some time and stirring up the pot, and then they come in with the guns and they arrest him. So even the local police said this is not anything, and then the feds come in and they apply that law that Tom you're referring to. Violence outside or blocking people from access to medical care.
Right.
So it's even worse. It's even worse. A worse look for the FBI in this case.
Oh, it's sad because, you know, the thing that is really, really troubling is exactly what Todd said. This is a show of force. This is intended to intimidate. It's intended to cower. It's intended to suppress me acting, because now I have to think, you know, I'm a father of six. I got a family, got grandchildren. You know, I'm going to go to the abortion clinic. I'm going to go pray a rosary. Oh my, if something happens, next thing you know, I got the feds swooping into my house. Hey, okay? Message taken. That's exactly right, Todd. And that is what should alarm every single citizen of this country. It should alarm every single bishop. I sent this out to a dozen priests the other day, and the guys, you know, texted back, oh, this is disturbing, right? And you know what we all said? Coming soon to a parish near you. Mm-hmm. Bishops, wake up. They're not on your side. Wake up. Get the memo. Pay attention.
I know. I've admitted several times that I am naive and I assume benevolence pretty much across the board because I'm thinking, oh, this is the FBI. I mean, they're really after criminals.
And
this guy, ironically, one of my best friends from college is good friends with Mark. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, his name is also Mark, but they work together in a lot of these pro-life things in that area. He's from that area up there in Pennsylvania. And I asked, I said, what's the deal? And he goes, Todd, this is absolutely absurd. Like, it makes no sense whatsoever. He's one of the nicest guys that you would ever meet. This is what we would consider to be a classic good citizen.
Right.
This is not a threat to anyone. And yet you send 20 FBI agents to go and get him in front of his wife and kids?
Yep.
Come on, Tom.
Disgusting. That's the only word I have. It's vile. It's utterly disgusting. It's criminal in so many ways. You know, one of the greatest lies is obedience at all costs. It's a lie from the devil. Mm-hmm. Obedience, no, not at all costs. How did Paul react when he was treated unjustly by the Roman authority? What did he do? And he got a favorable outcome. He was released from the prison, but he got hit. He didn't just say, okay, let me move on to the next thing. He said, oh, I'm a Roman citizen. And next thing you know, they're like, oh no, we denied him. We denied him his due process as a Roman citizen, right? There's nothing pious about merely just obedience for the sake of obedience. And that's what they count on. They count on the Mark Houks of the world, the Todd Sylvesters, the Ellen Taylors, the Mike Romanos. Okay, we're going to go along to get along. I don't wake up every day trying to figure out who am I going to attack. And I guarantee you, dollar to a donut, Mark Houk did not in any way think that that's what he was looking to do that day. No way. Okay, this man has been involved in the Catholic pro-life movement for a generation. He was a chastity speaker. Here's something I found out about him. You know, in our parishes, you know, a lot of us have those handouts, you know, from different agencies, Catholic Answers, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Mark was tasked with writing for the Bishops Conference the pamphlet on the dangers of pornography. Wow. So even if you haven't heard of this man's name, guess what? Many of us have been exposed to his work and his ministry. This is a man who's just trying to live the gospel simply. But let me tell you, this is the key, and this is something that, you know, we've been saying for months and years on this show. Pay attention to the times you're living in. Todd, you hit the nail on the head. I'm exactly like you. Do not ascribe to malice that can be better ascribed to incompetence, right? And I would be that type. The benefit of the doubt. But you know what? In my personal life, I give benefit of the doubt to people, but to most of our politicians and the bureaucracies, those days are over. And I'm sorry, leadership, in many cases, even this goes for ecclesial, political, nah, you squandered it. Sorry. Fool me once, shame on me. All right, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I screwed that up. I sound like George Bush.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. All right. There's another one, right? There's somebody. That was a Freudian slip, right? There you go. That's somebody who squandered my goodwill. That's somebody who squandered my goodwill.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's a great example. Oh, yeah. The Patriot Act, right? Mm-hmm. Ron Paul, Bob Barr, not Bill Barr. Bob Barr. You look those two guys up at the time of the Patriot Act saying, this thing's going to be weaponized. No, it's not. If you don't support the Patriot Act, you're a pro-terrorist, right? That thing has been used to drive a Mack truck through our freedoms. What a disgrace. You squandered the goodwill. And now, you know what? Bottom line is, this is a message that's being sent. It's like in baseball, a pitch being thrown by the guy, you know, Mike Piazza and Roger Clemens. There's a message being sent here, and it's very scary, and it's very disconcerting. And I got to say, the only thing we can appeal to is the people who are involved in this, that when their head hits the pillow at night, can they sleep and look themselves in the mirror? That's what we got to focus on, because this is absolutely scary where this is going.
Tom, I think you made a good point. A lot of us think that can't possibly happen. That can't be used against us. We're all good people here. We are a nation of Christian roots, and we hold ourselves to higher moral principles than other people in the world. And that doesn't seem to be the case today. And I'm not sure how we navigate that in today's world, because we want to think the best of people or our government or our institutions. And if you turn on the news every day, they seem to be failing us.
Yes. One of the things I used to do is I would say things like, okay, for example, in across the pond again, you know, we got news coming out of the Flemish bishops with the same-sex union. You know, 10 years ago, I used to think, well, 20 years ago, I would think, well, you know, now what I think about that is, it seems to me that a lot of these guys at the upper levels of that conference of bishops, they don't believe the gospel.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. Now listen, I used to work for a corporation that sells lunch meat in delis. Think Publix, okay? Place like that, okay? I worked for a creme de la creme company. I learned so much from that company that I still use to this day to present the gospel to my students, all right? And what I learned was protect the brand. Promote the brand, okay? Well, when you don't protect the brand of Catholicism and you say same-sex marriage and we're going to get blessings and we're going to do all these things and violating what the Holy See has said and the Holy Father has said, don't do this, this is no good, right? And they do it anyway, you know, nah. 10 years ago, all these guys are misguided. No. They don't believe. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at now with a lot of this happening politically. Todd, you got it 100%. There is no way that if I'm sitting around and I'm having a coffee with one of those guys, one of those agents that showed up, and we're having a coffee and we're friendly acquaintances, and I look him in the eye and I say, you really think you needed to show that kind of force? You know what he would do? I guarantee you, most of those guys, they would put their head down in shame.
Mm.
They would put their head down in shame. And that's what I appeal to, Romans chapter 1. Put your head down in shame. There's nothing to be proud about what you did on Friday.
Mm.
Shameful. Shameful.
And those people within the institutions that are of good moral character, they need to start stepping up and saying, no, not on my watch.
They're also afraid of losing their job.
Yeah, but
yep, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
They got 22 years in. They just need 8 years before they get full retirement.
And that's probably what the soldiers in the Stalin's army and Hitler's army all said. I just get a paycheck.
We all know it's fear.
Yes, exactly.
At what point does fear drive your moral behavior? Is there something greater than fear?
I'm not saying it should. I'm just saying I understand. I'm trying to empathize with some of these people.
I don't know.
Oh, this is, I'm getting goosebumps hearing you both talk because I just wish I was down there in studio today talking about this because there's so much for us to talk about. Both of you just hit it. And I just had this epiphany because that's exactly what Todd was saying before. This is a battle of fear, right? Because that 22-year or an 18-year veteran in the FBI, he's thinking, he's probably thinking, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. I'm doing this. This is what my life has come to. Are you kidding me? And he's going to go along to get along. Just like what we said before. Hey, I'm 6 kids. Todd's got 10 kids. But we're just trying to go along to get along. I'm not looking to fight with nobody. And so it's a battle of people just going. And guess what? The puppet masters are so malevolent that they will use our fear, fear that we just want to put food on our family table and manipulate us. Merrick Garland, when you sleep at night, you have nothing to be proud of. You're a disgrace. And the whole system needs conversion. That's the principalities of powers in play. They are manipulating us based on our fear. That FBI agent fear of losing his job or her job and their retirement and pension, they're just trying to go along to get along. They probably think this is a disgrace. Me, I'm just trying to go along to get along. Mark Couch is trying to go along to get along.
Hang on, Tom. Hang on, Tom. What did Edmund Burke say? What did he say? The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Mm-hmm. And what does St. John tell us? What does perfect love do? It casts out all fear. And we cannot let fear dominate us. You know what? I tell my students this every day. You will never regret doing what is right. You just won't. Yeah. We're reading a letter from a Birmingham jail right now. Whenever people sit there and talk about, well, this was legal. I always say, yeah, lots of things in history were legal. They were immoral. And thank God, in some cases, we now recognize that. But the bottom line is be very, very afraid to base your argument on something being right, on it being legal. Because let me tell you something, that everything that Hitler did, as King reminds us in that letter, was legal in Nazi Germany. There you go.
Exactly. Tom Riello, leaving us with a mic.
Well, at the end of the day, don't lose hope, folks. But we have, because we know, as Todd, as I mentioned with Father Connor, we have the way forward. We just have to trust.
Wow. So good. Tom Riello, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
Bless you all. Bye.
Coming up next, Fred Meyer is going to talk about the passion play in Omar Regal.
Obama Regal.
I knew I was going to get it. The one in Germany that happens every 10 years. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
And my heart lives by the bay.
Centuries waiting, we are at your mercy.
Love that.
That's what I needed. Yeah. And welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's producing like a boss over there.
Hey, they don't make them like they used to.
No.
Just, you know.
Ripster's doing his thing. We have with us on the line.
get a tumbler.
Frederick Myatt, who is playing Jesus in the famous Passion Play in Germany. Good morning, Fred.
How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
So this play normally is put on exactly every 10 years, but I guess due to COVID, it got pushed off a couple years, right, Frederick?
That's absolutely correct, yes. It was planned for 2020, and due to COVID, we had to postpone it for 2 years.
And it's been happening since 1633?
Wow.
34.
Oh, you're off a year, Todd.
In 1633, the villagers of Oberammergau made the vow to play the Passion Play, and the year after, in 1634, the first performance was held.
Well, the dedication to that to me is astounding.
That's amazing. That has to be the longest running play in the history of the world.
Right. So, being born and raised there, is that something that you're kind of grown up with, oh, what part am I going to play when I'm older, or how am I going to contribute to this? How does that work for those born and raised there?
And of course, it's a big part of our lives in Oberammergau. So when you grow up in Oberammergau, you pretty soon you get contact to theater or to music, and especially every 10 years when Passion Play is done, even all the kids are in the play. So right now the youngest kid is just a few weeks old. It's then the first time on stage. The oldest person involved in the Passion Play is 98 years old, and we have around about 500 children participating in the play. And when you now talk to them, they all know the first lines of the Passion Play, or what Jesus says on the stage. So really, it's a big thing for us, and of course the children talk about, and they love it.
Wow.
It is incredible. I have not had the opportunity to see it live, but I've seen a lot of video and have read some of the background stories concerning this. So if you're doing it every 10 years, when do they start with the actual rehearsals and such, Frederick?
So there's some dates. So there in October 2018, the cast was announced. Mm-hmm. And so that's a special day for us, because then we start slowly with the preparations. We went together with the main cast then in a year after to Israel to visit the holy sites in the Holy Land.
Nice.
That was a big impact for us. So that's more or less the start of the rehearsals. And then there's also one tradition about the Passion Play. On Ash Wednesday, the year before the Passion Play, everyone has to let the hair grow, and the men, although the beards. And then we start with the rehearsals, usually in December, in the year before the Passion Play is done. And so we did this in 2019, and then, of course, in March 2020, 8 weeks before the Passion Play, we stopped our rehearsals because some virus...
Fred, you're just throwing
that
one out there.
That was very sad, you can imagine, because it was just before the opening night and no one knew what was going on. I think that was the same situation all over the world. No one knew how bad it is, how bad it will be. And then, we postponed it for 2 years.
So then when it starts and you start putting on the play, how many performances do you do, Frederick?
So the opening night was in mid of May, May 14, and then we played five times a week. Only Monday and Wednesday was off. And in the Passion Play, there are around about 2,000 persons involved. And so it was 110 performances overall. And on October 2nd, the last performance will be done till 2030.
Wow.
I assume that if you work in town, your boss gives you accommodations. I'm in the play. So you play Jesus this year, which has to be, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine a more thrilling thing. But it's not your first participation. You started out young as well, right, in the play?
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was the first time in the play. When I was 20 years old, I played John, the disciple. Mm-hmm. And then in 2010, it was my first time I was allowed to portray Jesus in the Passion Play. And so now that's my second time doing this role. And it's a big honor, you can imagine.
Oh, I could.
Also a big responsibility, but it's very special. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Now, say again, how many people are involved? And are they all from that area of Germany?
Oh, it's even more. They are all from Oberammergau. So the rule also in Oberammergau is you have to be born in Oberammergau or live there at least for 20 years to be in the play.
Wow.
So the cast is really from our village. We have 5,500 participants, and around about 2,000 of the village are involved in the play. And so, and of course, so that's, we only have exceptions for participating in the orchestra, because we don't have all instruments in our village. So there are some, then we open it for the neighbor villages, but everyone on stage in the cast is from Oberammergau, and also in the choir. it's from the village. So we do a lot of cultural work in the years in between. We do a lot of, we do a lot of theater, a lot of singing, a lot of concerts, so that we have every 10 years a good quality of singers and performers.
How many people are in the village?
Did you just say 2,000 people are involved in this?
Of a village of
5,000? 5,000.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, Frederick.
I know.
That math is not working in my head.
Yeah, I know. You better have a towel when you're
5,000 people in your village, and 2,000 of them are involved in this play?
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Those are so.
You don't get that kind of commitment, Todd, anymore.
And how large is the area where people are coming to see this? Like, how many people are at each performance?
So, yeah, we have, so in our small village, we have an auditorium in the Passion Play Theater of 4,400 seats, and we had 110 performances, so now we will have around about 412,000 visitors from all over the world. So we have visitors from North America, South America, from Singapore, from India, from New Zealand, Australia, really from all the continents. So around about one third of the visitors, they are coming from overseas to see the Passion Play, because it's the oldest Passion Play, the most popular Passion Play in the world, and so that's very special about. And we are, of course, you can imagine, very proud of it, because it's such a long history, and you're part of it, and you grow into the story, and you, yeah, it was a very special year. And as you said, it's a lot of dedication needed, because we started the rehearsals in January. So no one had holidays in this year. So we started in January. We rehearsed almost every day. And then we had the opening night in mid of May, and we played five times a week. So everyone had to stay there, but everyone is really, makes a big effort to be in the play. And, some, they take unpaid holidays, some, organize it in another way. They say, I can only participate in the second part of the play, which is in the evening. So they go to their regular job during the day. Students stop their studies for half a year. So it's really because you grow up with it, and you're emotionally addicted to the Passion Play, and you plan your life like this, because you say, no, I want to be in there. And if there is a will, there's a way to make it happen, and we know in 8 years it's again, and everyone plans somehow the life after it.
Yeah, but it almost seems as if, like, this is what you're called to because you're born in this village. I mean, there's
commitment.
Such a connection. Yeah. Like, I was reading your interview, and back in 1990, when you were 10 years old, you watched the Passion Play with your great-grandmother, and if you were sitting there, were you thinking, hey, one day I'm going to play Jesus?
Never. I never thought of that. Even after I played John, and I was very close to the both persons portraying Jesus, I never imagined myself playing this role, because I had so much respect, and I really admired those two playing Jesus in 2000. And I was really surprised when I was elected for the Passion Play in 2010. And of course I was overwhelmed and happy, but when I woke up on the next day, I felt a lot of pressure on my shoulders. Yeah, but of course it's something.
So the next version you'll do in 8 years, right? Not 10, because you'll catch up, right, and put it back at 2030.
Yeah.
Look, Todd,
yeah,
we had this on your calendar.
We had this
now
in our chronicles also, because in 1920, after the First World War, and there was the Spanish flu, and then the Passion Play was postponed also from 1920 to 1922, and the next play then was done in 1930. So 100 years ago, we had almost the same situation.
Wow.
I do think it's genius to do it every 10 years, because although, I've seen video of it, and it looks incredible, I think if you did it every year, then after a while, it would kind of lose its luster. Don't you think, Frederick?
Absolutely correct. So I think the 10 years is really good, because I know about Passion Plays. They had like a 6 year rhythm, and then I think it's too much, because every 10 years, I think it, so even for the visitors, they say, oh, if I don't go now, I don't know what will be the situation in 10 years. And that's the same for us, for the participants. It's if I don't take part now in this year, I don't know. So it's good. It's really good, the 10-year decision our ancestors almost 400 years decided to do. I think it was right. Yes.
And not only are people coming for the passion play, but they're also coming for the sugared pancakes with raisins.
Look at that.
Right?
You bring in the food, Todd.
Come on, Fred.
Of course. We are here in Bavaria, so all you hear about Germany and Bavaria, you will find in Oberammergau or in our region. So right now, the Oktoberfest is going on. You have the delicious Bavarian food in our region. You have beautiful, beautiful landscape and the mountains and a lot of nature. And the tradition is still very alive in our region.
Are you planning an archangel?
Yeah. I'm looking at the pictures,
seriously,
and I am like, we
archangel
have to
pilgrimage?
Go 10 years, 8 years from now. We got to plan.
We'll have Michelle McAloon.
Yeah.
Bring us, you know, because
she's over
dead.
There.
I'll
all stay
Donnie
at her house.
It. I'll have Donnie make some.
Oh, yeah.
Get the recipe.
There you go. Yeah, we know a couple people from this area that have gone to see it this year. So, and that, I think, is on a lot of people's bucket list. Like, oh, I want to go experience that. And we just kind of thank you.
It's
thank
some
you
serious
for the commitment.
Planning, though. That's some serious planning.
I know, but what
I don't
kind
have
of
anything
commitment?
On my calendar, Frederick, 8 years from now.
So now you know what to put in
this
there.
This is the
there
first
you go.
Thing that's going to go
so,
on.
So, all right, you played Jesus this time. In 8 years, who are you going to play?
Oh, definitely not Jesus anymore. But, of course, there's some really good roles, but they're more on the bad side, I would say.
No. You can't go from Jesus to Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
You can't do that, Frederick. That should be a rule in the casting. Yeah. There's a rule.
Yeah. Maybe he's not the casting director.
No, that happened to my colleague, Andreas Richter. He played together with me Jesus 12 years back, and he had to play Caiaphas in this year.
No.
So we met again on stage.
No, I'm against that. Oh. I say you should line yourself up 8 years from now, be one of the older apostles. Not Judas Iscariot, one of the older ones.
We will see what happens.
He's got to get in front of the casting director, like,
I'll talk to him. I'll send him an email. I got this. I got you covered, Fred.
Oh, Fred, this has been great to talk to you. Thank you so much. Thank your village, all your people there that put this on every
beautiful,
decade.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frederick.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Man.
I know. We need a commitment like that in our neck of the woods.
When I was a little
kid,
I remember someone going, and I thought, man, that's something that's awesome.
Now I feel like we're lacking after that. Brendan Gott is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Good Catholic website. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
Lord, send out your spirit. Send out your spirit. Send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Nice. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great. Man, you're hitting home runs today.
That's what I do.
Ripster's doing his thing. On the line, we have Brendan Gotta, who is involved in Good Catholic. You can connect with them at goodcatholic.com. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. I was trying to figure out on the website. Now, are you the founder of this, or what's your position here at Good Catholic?
No, I am a basically our PR guy, our manager of corporate communications. So I work within all of the different Trinity Road brands.
Awesome.
And Good Catholic is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then talk to us about it. Where did it come from?
Yeah, I think it really came from an idea that people are in need of help with learning about their faith. Evangelization, I think, in today's society is within the Catholic world is doing better than it was in the past. I think there are a lot of really good Catholic entities, companies, organizations out there that are focusing on evangelization, but that wasn't always the case. And it's maybe you guys have a similar situation. The faith wasn't always talked about in the home life. And Good Catholic really is a good response to that, understanding that men and women want to know about their faith, want to learn about their faith, but don't always know where to turn. And so with Good Catholic, we do blogs and podcasts, and our biggest selling point is our digital video series.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Excuse me. Yes. So our digital series, we have about 30 of them, but they are opportunities for people to basically do a go-at-your-own-pace series on a myriad of topics. And so we started this a few years back and have just continued to see it grow. And each year we're producing 3 or 4 or 5 different series. Our most recent one is on purgatory. And so we also listen to our subscribers and ask them what they're interested in learning about. And for us, you know, our motto is kind of learn your faith, live your faith, share your faith. And so our understanding here is, of course, that if you're learning and then you're living, you're going to be sharing, and that's key. And so our series kind of hit on all those different topics, and we really invite our listeners or our subscribers to dive deeper into the faith. But we really focus on orthodoxy and truth, and then we sprinkle that in with, you know, practical wisdom. But I think what makes our series unique is the fact that it's much less opinion and much more just truth. And so I guess the people who lead our series, they've all been priests, and these priests spend little time sharing their own opinions and much more time just focusing on what the church teaches, which we have found to be very, very helpful to all those who subscribe.
I'm looking at it, and I think what is a beautiful aspect is they're basic tenets of the faith, maybe with a deeper dive in. And of course, tomorrow being the Feast of the Archangels, I clicked on your angels in the supernatural. And I like how you laid it out, that you get a daily email. You can do it at your own pace, and you can read, and then you can watch something, and you can come back, and you can step. And so it goes on for, I think it was 21 days on that. And so there are elements perhaps that people maybe haven't taken a deep dive into the faith about. And that's really beautiful, because sometimes we just get caught up in life and we really want to practice our faith in a better way, yet we're not knowledgeable enough. And so these kinds of things, there's one on the Holy Mass as well. So these look very interesting to me. How does somebody participate if they're interested in taking a look at some of these video series?
Yeah, it's very simple. If you go to our Good Catholic website and you go to the top banner page that says series, you click that and it provides you a drop down menu of all the different series that we have produced. And from there, you can click one and it allows you to read about it and decide if you would like to participate. And then, each one has a different pricing point. Of course, for us, you know, we put a lot of money and work into these series, so they're not for free. There are a few that are, but most of them, you know, you do have to pay for. And then from there, like you said, it's a go at your own pace. It will be sent to your inbox, and you also then have a login information, so you're able to just log in whenever you want. And so some people, it's great for them. They watch it every single day. You know, they start their morning with a cup of coffee and then they find themselves diving into one of these wonderful series. But for others, and we've seen countless people say that they have watched 3 or 4 or 5 days worth of content in one day because they just couldn't get enough. and it's really incredible. Yesterday we actually celebrated our 25th anniversary as a company, Trinity Road. And the priest who was celebrating Mass for us on campus shared a story that his own brother, who is now suffering from cancer, and he found himself being told to check out one of our series. And he had never, to my knowledge, had watched any of our series, but it was, I believe, Thy Will Be Done. And he started watching this series, and he said his whole outlook changed on how he dealt with cancer. He's a father, he's a doctor, he's got multiple children. And it was in this series that he started to look at God's will in a different way, trying to understand, you know, the suffering that he was going through, his family was going through. And he looked at the series and it completely changed his outlook to the point where he visited Charlotte with to see his brother, who's a priest in the Diocese of Charlotte. And he said, I need to meet the writers of Thy Will Be Done. I want to meet those celebrities. And so it's just been super powerful. That's one story of many of, you know, the Lord using these series, but it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And I even remember when someone sent me a video of Ask a Priest and they were like, Todd, you will love this. And I watched the video and I'm like, man, this is just really excellent content. And I do think, Brendan, that people are understanding that to get excellent content, it's okay to actually have to pay a little bit for that. That's just how the world works. Right, Brendan?
No, yeah, I think certainly. I mean, we do have our fair share of free content. We have our blogs, our podcasts, and a couple, like I said, free series. And then you're talking about some of our videos. We've created those Ask a Priest videos. And those usually go out on Fridays. But we have seen that not only are people willing, but multiple people will pay for multiple series. So it's not just a one series and done for many of our viewers. They keep coming back because they love what is being offered to them.
And it looks like not only as part of goodcatholic.com where you can go and see all this, you've got other Catholic aspects. People don't realize there's a lot of ways to enrich your faith life beyond going just to Sunday Mass or just tuning into this morning show, that there's a lot of people doing good work to edify and fill you and guide you on ways to practice your faith. So the site is beautifully laid out, and it looks really interesting. So they can go to goodcatholic.com. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, okay. That's the website. And in the coming months here, we're creating an app. And so that will be another awesome opportunity for people to just download an app and then have access to, you know, all of this content right there. Mm-hmm. As opposed to having to go to the website. So right. We're really fortunate and blessed to be able to kind of do this type of work, and we've seen it flourish, and we're excited to see where it goes from here.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. For the longest time, I've been getting the Catholic Company's morning offering email each morning, and it's been a major part of our family's prayer time. I mean, this is you've been doing great work for many, many years, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And included in that, we've recently created a podcast that's coupled with that called Saint of the Day. And that each day provides a bio of a saint in 3 minutes or less. And that's another, you know, short, simple thing that we've decided to kind of embark upon. But it really shares a great message of, you know, learning about these holy men and women who have served the faithful for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, I'm a little embarrassed by this, but I'm going through your series and I had no idea that there were so many. I mean, if somebody had asked me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, they got a couple.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Lord, this is enough content to pack me out for a number of years, Brendan.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, it's been years now that we've been creating this content, and it's just continued to, it's taken on a life of its own, I think, in a certain sense. And I think for us as an organization, we've seen the fruit of, you know, of this product and of these series. And we're so fortunate to just know there are so many good priests out there. And we're now turning to some lay people. We have an upcoming series on the Rosary that is going to be done by a lay woman who is just awesome. And so we're expanding to just that. We didn't only have priests for any reason other than, you know, they were knowledgeable and well versed in spreading the faith. But we're excited to have some new providers come on and, presenters, excuse me, that are going to hopefully also, speak to people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta let us know when the app is up.
Yes.
That's going to be a game changer.
You can expect it in Lent. So our hope is to launch on Ash Wednesday of next year.
That'll be
great. Well, thanks for joining us, Brendan. You can check out all of the videos that Todd and I are scrolling through going, oh, I want to see that.
I want to watch this series. I want to watch this series.
At goodcatholic.com. Good luck. And thank you for all you do there, Brendan.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, and God bless you all.
Thanks, right. Brendan.
Yeah.
Okay, Mass of the Archangels.
It is tonight. So tonight, 6 p.m. at the cathedral. Maybe you, it's a day for prayer. It really is. I mean, every day is a day for prayer, but it seems like the world pushes down on us some days and it feels more crushing than others. And you just open the news and there's things to pray for. We are blessed and we are thankful, and we're going to go praise God for that tonight. We're going to praise God for the ministry, all the people that came before us in putting this ministry together. And we thank God that all of us in this room here are able to bring it to fruition on a day-to-day basis. And we thank God for the people that support us, because without that, we would not be able to get the word out every day. Yeah. So 6 p.m. Cathedral, Archbishop Rohde, celebrant Father Pat Driscoll. Come meet him in person. He's the homilist. We'll see you at 6 p.m. and then stay for fellowship and supper.
Awesome.
Yep. We thank our sponsor, Spring Hill College, making their students real world ready. Spring Hill College, one of the most affordable Jesuit Catholic colleges in the country. See all Spring Hill has to offer at shc.edu. Mikey, what's going on tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, Lauren Alley, we'll talk with her about the upcoming Call to Love Women's Conference happening in October. Need to get a big crowd there. Father Robert McTeague, he'll talk about his article, The Guns of August, Then and Now. And Ellen, you'll be dropping your blog.
Oh, Todd, I things are percolating.
Yes, lots going on, lots to talk about.
Yeah.
Hey, be nice.
Yeah, I pray for the people of Florida.
Yes.
It's going to be bad for some people today, and some people won't make it, and we pray for their souls.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio, WNGL, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. God bless you all. Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you. Yeah.